Joining me now is Pat Brady. Pat's former head of the state Republican parties with Next Generation Strategies. He's also a former assistant U.S. attorney. Pat, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It's great to be here, but I got to do some WGN house cleaning. I talked to Cochran, Steve, on the way over. He said to tell you hello and to plug his show. Otherwise, he won't validate my parking. So,
yes, listen to Steve Cochran mornings on WGN.
I just want my parking validated.
Well, I wanted to get your take of the Mueller hearings. And I guess so many people have talked about his performance because the expectation, you know, there's an expectation game, obviously. Even the Washington Post writing some story about, you know, rumors about Mueller's acumen. And it's like, there is the performance aspect of it, but there's also what he said. And, I mean, I still think words matter.
Oh, yeah. They clearly said that the report, the president's story or narrative, whatever you want to call it, is no collusion, no obstruction.
No obstruction,
right. Which is, in the first 3 minutes of the hearing, that came out clearly that he, the lead investigator, didn't agree with that. But I think what happened is that the Democrats didn't do a very good job presenting. I think if they would have done it chronologically and started with the fact that this started 2 years before President Trump was even involved in the campaign, that the Russians had undergone this extensive effort to infiltrate our elections, that people close to the Trump campaign during the course of the campaign, Manafort, Donald Jr., Mike Flynn, all these people had contacts with the Russians that were actively trying to infiltrate our investigations, that the president took steps when he became president to help Michael Flynn, to help his friends, and then when he ended up firing the FBI director, that's where all this obstruction came in. To me, I laid that out just conceptually. I think it would have been more effective had he done that.
Well, and I wondered about that, too, because you had basically the kind of the two parts of the report, and they started with part two.
Right.
In
3 hours. Yeah.
Instead of within the intelligence hearing was focused on Russian involvement, and I thought, why didn't they flip that to kind of lay out, here's the groundwork of what the investigation really was,
right,
and then go to part two, which was the questions on obstruction.
And that's why when this early in this investigation, I thought then he ended up doing it, not because I'm any genius, but one of the first indictments was against the Russians.
Right.
Which I thought was smart to show there is a problem here. And then he indicted, had a second indictment against the Russians, and you even saw him get more animated in front of the House Intelligence Committee when he started talking about the thing I think that mattered to him most.
He felt, yeah, and you could tell he felt more comfortable. I mean, he had, you know, in some respects, for the Democrats looking for the home run thing, he pretty much took the ball away when he said, you know, I'm not even going to read from my own report here.
Which is, he told them that before.
Yes, right.
And one of the other criticisms I have where the Democrats did, he flat out told him he didn't want to testify. You have uncooperative,
right,
the witness that doesn't want to be there. So you have to treat them differently, or at least try to prep them or send a staffer over to say, hey, how are you going to be on this so you can be prepared for it? And I think the combination of that and the third point, just the order presentation, they didn't talk to him. The third point is he did not look well. And I've watched, he's testified 88 times in front of Congress, and I don't think it's just that he hadn't done it in 6 years. He wasn't ready. He looked like, to me, like he couldn't hear. And he was, so I don't know what happened there, but it was all in all for the Democrats that were looking for this impeachment. It's not going to happen, I don't think.
We're speaking with Pat Brady. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. We have Pat Brady here in studio, former assistant U.S. attorney, former state Republican Party chairman, now with Next Generation Strategies. And we're kind of reviewing former special counsel Bob Mueller's testimony before the two House committees. You know, even though before we went to break, you said you don't think impeachment is going to happen, but yet in recent days, we have seen more Democrats actually step up and say that they want to see impeachment proceedings begin.
Yeah, and you understand the math. They might be able to get it through the House committee, but it's going to die in the Senate. So what's the point when you take a huge political risk? You saw what happened when Republicans impeached Bill Clinton. I think he left with, a 58% approval rating. It backfired terribly. Plus, I think we're that close to the election. Why do it? If you want to remove him, if the people really want him removed, impeachment is a political process,
right?
Then let's let the election happen.
Well, you know, and you've got Jerry Nadler, the House Judiciary Chairman, Democrat from New York, going to court basically to try to get documents that and cites the fact that it's part of the reason is because of the Congress's power to impeach that these documents should be provided. I mean, it seems pretty clear he wants to go ahead.
I think if you looked at that panel, I didn't get a chance to do it, to see everybody on the panel that's pushing for impeachment, to see if they have a primary opponent. And I think Nadler does. So I think the ones that are pushing for it, it's more about their local politics than it really is about national politics.
But you're still talking, I mean, over 90 Democrats now in the House, which is, you know, that's a significant number.
That's a big number. I think they make a huge mistake if they do that. I did see a poll this morning that has not support for impeachment up, but people that don't want it done, down. So I'm not sure if that makes any difference. I'm saying that fewer people are opposed to it. But we're old, so we've been to this will be our third one, right?
Yes.
And it has other than the Nixon, he ended up resigning. I think that was a different era. But the Clinton thing was just the country took its eye off the ball. That's when Bin Laden and the others were over there building up their empires, and it's just a bad thing for the country, I think.
Well, but I mean, with Clinton though, let's look at what. The basic genesis of that was not Whitewater or anything else. It was over his dalliance.
Yeah, well, and lying under oath. Yeah,
yes, and it was lying under oath about that.
Yeah, the second count, like within the Nixon case, was obstruction.
Right,
impeachment article.
But here you're dealing with more matters, I think, related to the governance.
I read the report twice. That says more about my social life than does anything. But if you read that report and the way they laid it out, there's a lot of bad information in there, primarily about what the Russians are trying to do. And now that the more intelligence reports are coming out, they're targeting all 50 states by the bad actions of the people around the Trump campaign. But remember, the Trump campaign, that wasn't exactly the A-team.
No.
And even when they talk about obstruction as it relates to the conspiracy as it relates to Donald Jr., in the report it basically says these guys didn't understand campaign finance laws, and we're not going to indict somebody that just really didn't have a clue about that this could be seen as a illegal contribution. So there's a lot in there. But I think that report, it's done.
Well, but isn't there a certain amount of naivete that when you're offered – dirt on your opponent by a foreign government or foreign agents, that's you report that to U.S. authorities?
I wouldn't even say naivete. I think it's just stupid. I mean, the Russians are coming. They're not exactly our friends. When he texted back, oh, I love it, particularly knowing that WikiLeaks has hacked into the DNC and this is the information you're going to get. But then again, as you said, the tone set at the top is dad's out saying, I love WikiLeaks.
Right.
So when you set that kind of tone, maybe they think it's okay.
It's just confounding.
It is.
And Mueller, too, is when we talked about his testimony, but, to Ted Lieu, where he basically said, I could indict him after he leaves office. And then he was forced to clean himself up and say, I hadn't reached a conclusion on obstruction.
Yeah, was offered, I said, no, that's not what he's saying. He's saying he can be indicted, not that I would indict him. And we never, if you have read the report, he says that he didn't make a binary prosecute, not prosecute decision like you typically do. He laid out the reasons. Even in the, they talk about the OLC memo that people, I'm sure, are sick of talking about.
OLC.
Yeah, the Office of Legal Counsel, that says you can't indict a sitting president. He put more meat on that bone than it came out in the testimony. He did that because he goes, if we can't indict him, if we issue a report saying he's engaged in criminal conduct, he has no chance to rebut that. He's got to wait till he gets out. So it kind of in the weeds and got confusing, but it was all lost in the white noise of just not a very good presentation.
But again, it did not exonerate the president, as he claims that he's been exonerated.
No, absolutely, it did not exonerate him. It's stated in the report. Bob Mueller restated that in his testimony. So when the president goes out and says no collusion, which again is not a legal term, no obstruction, he's lying. The one thing from reading the obstruction side, too, you realize that the president and the people around him, truth is just an option with them. They lie about everything, and they lied about everything. That's why four of them got indicted, and which is a serious thing to lie to federal agents. So that's another takeaway, at least I got from reading the memo.
I want to ask you about this, what we've seen, the tweets from the president, both involving the squad, as well as even yesterday with Elijah Cummings. And it seems that there is a policy, a politically motivated policy here, that playing this game involving race is to build, to retain his base.
Yeah, the 42% that he'll always have. But you look at those tweets, and I know it's an old cliche, but politics is about addition, not subtraction. I don't understand why he continues to do this, because where we live, those kind of tweets, they're going to hurt Republicans in the two congressional districts we're trying to win back. They hurt us 2 years ago. I still think that Randy Hulker and Peter Raskin lost primarily because the president was so unpopular. So I don't know what his end game is beyond the people that are going to support him anyway.
Well, I thought it was interesting, too. Politico was saying that the president was looking at some kind of strategy to try to, you know, win those suburban districts and win back the suburban districts that he had lost, and then as well as make inroads in urban districts. And then you go from that to, you know, saying that this district in Baltimore is that no human being would live there. And how, I mean, that runs completely counter to
The only thing I right now keeping that strategy alive, I believe, is the Democrats are not offering, I don't think, enough of an option to get the people that aren't necessarily progressive Democrats, can't stand the president and didn't vote for him before and aren't going to vote for him this time, but they're just not going to run to the Democrats, because there's really no, the policies that we're seeing from some of the Democrats outside of Joe Biden are way too far to the left for most people, particularly in the suburbs in this country. So I'm waiting for some Democrats to step up and come up with some policies that fit more to the middle, because they're going way to the extreme, too, I think.
Sure. And obviously, when we're seeing that messaging in on the congressional level and campaigns here and throughout the country, where you just, if you're the Republican, you automatically label the Democrat as socialist, whatever, fill in the blank name there, and to try to, you know, attach that label there.
Well, I think, too, the Democrats have made a mistake in that they overreact to everything. He does a stupid thing a day. He's already done it this morning. He'll do four or five more probably before the end of the day. Quit reacting to it and start talking about what you're going to do. I think that's more effective than every day having a breathless outrage about what Donald Trump did. I think it's already kind of the default position. We've already factored all that in, that they need to, I think,
go beyond.
Go beyond, yeah.
That's Pat Brady, former head of the state Republican Party with Next Generation Strategies. Pat, as always, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you. And thank you for letting me plug Cochran.
I'm sure he thanks you as well.
See you guys. Have a good day.